Nice to see you all. Okay, I guess you know by now what we're going to be looking at this morning. Fantastic. I love this hospitality. It's great, isn't it? And can I say right from the outset, this is a fantastic church in terms of hospitality. We're a very hospitable church, aren't we? Because you do it all. And there's so many people in this room who are very hospitable, who really demonstrate this gift in their lives. And it's a great thing. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you so much that you welcome us with open arms. We thank you, Lord, that we are in your family, that we have received your grace, your mercy, your salvation, your healing, your blessing upon our lives. And as we come to look at this, you know, amazing gift that functions within your family, the church, you would help us, Lord, to really grow and develop in this gift, that we can extend the arm of hospitality to others, that many other people through our hospitality would come to know you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so hospitality, fantastic. I love this. First of all, if you'd like to turn to or just read on the screen with me, 1 Peter 4, it says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." And so the key here is offer hospitality without grumbling. Let's do this with a cheerful heart and good attitude. So what is hospitality? The root word of hospitality comes from the Latin word hosps. Do you want to say that together? Hosps. And it is where we get the word hospital and hospice from. So what is hospitality? It is the divine enablement to share with others our homes, our lives, our personal space, our resources, without communicating a need for performance or an expectation of return. Very different to entertaining. The root meaning of this word means guests. It literally means guests. Now, in Bible times, there were no such things really as hotels as we know it now. There may have been, you know, a number of inns and pit stops where people would travel and feed their animals and stay the night and things. But often inns were kind of places of ill repute, really. I suppose many would have been brothels. And so one of the practices that the early church set up was this practice of hospitality. So that people in the Christian community, whether they were traveling for business, preaching and spreading the message of Jesus, would have a safe place to go. And so people use their homes. And so it's a practice which started in the early church for people to have a place of safety. Now, obviously, if you go back to sort of Old Testament times, a lot of people travelled in caravans. Not caravans as we know it today, with showers and kitchens and all the sort of mod cons, but they sort of lived in communities and travelled in communities, and the Bedouin tent people and things like that, like Abraham and Sarah, would have, you know, sort of lived in tents and moved on and camped somewhere else and pitched there for a few years. And so if we look at a little story now of Abraham and Sarah, it talks about the gift of hospitality, you know, thousands of years ago, being practiced in people's homes, not necessarily bricks and mortar, but in tents. And just like we all go camping sometimes, you can always tell the hospitable people because they've always got a tent full of people and the kettle's always on. Okay, Genesis 18, verse 1 to 7. I'll just read this out quickly for you. This is the story of Abraham and Sarah. "Later the Lord again appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre. Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When Abraham saw them, he ran from his tent to meet them. He bowed face down on the ground before them and said, 'Sir, if you think well of me, please stay a while with me. You can wash your feet and rest, and I will get you some food.' and I will get some bread for you to regain your strength, then you may continue your journey. The three men said, this is fine, do as you say. Abraham hurried to the tent where Sarah, his wife, was and said to her, hurry, prepare 22 litres of fine flour and make it into loaves of bread. Then Abraham ran into his herd and took one of his best calves. He gave it to a servant who hurried to kill it and to prepare it for food. Abraham gave the three men the calf that had been cooked, milk, curds, and whey, and they ate. He stood under the tree near them, and they ate. And that is kind of quite elaborate hospitality, really. You know, poor Sarah sitting in the tent, you know, 100 years of age, having her afternoon nap, and all of a sudden, hubby comes in and says, quick, get bacon, get your flour, get your eggs, you know, we have guests. And so this big sort of meal was prepared for these guests. And of course, later on in Hebrews, it references that do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels. And obviously, these three visitors were angels, messengers from God, coming to Abraham and Sarah and saying, you know, within a year, Sarah is going to have a baby boy. And so here we can see hospitality in primitive form thousands of years ago, and it's great. Abraham was eager to show hospitality to these three visitors. And in his day, a person's reputation was connected to his hospitality. The sharing of his home and the sharing of his food, and even strangers were to be treated as highly honoured guests. And so hospitality is still one of the most important ways we can obey God and serve God and honour God in our church and in our lives and in our families. And it really is a time-honoured relationship builder. I know for ourselves, 20 years ago when we first joined Cornerstone, one of the main things we did was hang out. We hang out in people's homes. We hang out in the park. We hang out in a coffee shop. We hang out in the pub with people. And people in the church were very hospitable to us. And sort of friendships grew and relationships were built because of those times. And I often think, you know, Jesus spent most of his time hanging out, didn't he? He spent most of his time socialising and being with people, receiving the hospitality of those people around him. And so it's a fantastic gift for us to function in as a, you know, a person in our homes, in our streets, but also especially in the church. And so hospitality simply means, as we know already this morning, making other people feel comfortable and at home. Okay, now then, we're going to flip into the New Testament, one of my favourite stories, Naomi's especially, she loves the story, and it is the story I'm sure we're familiar with, which is the story of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And so Jesus and his disciples were traveling and came to this home in Bethany where Martha and Mary lived. And I suppose Mary and Martha were a pretty good team in terms of hospitality. Martha was probably the organiser, and she would make sure the work was done and that there were, you know, things prepared. I mean, back in those days, there were no ready meals, there were no microwaves. You couldn't just pop to the shop to pick up a tin of beans and a loaf of bread and a pint of milk if, you know, guests turned up. And so I suppose, hospitality and feeding people really did have to take some preparation and planning. And so Martha had a gift for acts of service. And although sometimes she became overly focused on the work, she perhaps forgot the true purpose and reasons behind the preparations. She must have become so focused on the perfect meal for her guests and showed her stress levels in her outburst in verse 40. And she was distracted. You know, Jesus, don't you care that I'm doing all the work? Tell my sister to get up and help me. And so she was a bit stressed out. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to Jesus and said, tell my sister to help me. And so while Martha was running around like a headless chicken, getting dinner ready, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he said. Mary was part of the team who could make her guests feel welcome, who could make her guests feel at home, and could make her guests feel important. She would focus her attention completely on the person, completely on the guest. But in that, she would sometimes forget some of the more practical things of the proceedings. Maybe Martha was trying to prepare a feast when sometimes a sandwich would have done. Mary and Martha both loved Jesus. They were both serving him, but their styles were different. Martha, in her desire and enthusiasm to serve her guest, was actually neglecting her guest. And I suppose for us, there's a lesson for us here. Are we sometimes so busy serving God, serving Jesus, and doing things for him that we neglect perhaps spending time with him, maybe like Martha? Do we pray and read and contemplate and spend time worshipping him and sort of resting in his presence to kind of refuel and recharge our spiritual batteries so that we are more enabled to serve and to give to others? And so it's, you know, let's be careful that our service doesn't become self-serving. And so Jesus wasn't blaming Martha for being concerned about the chores and the preparations. He was just asking her to set priorities. And sometimes if we see Martha in our own personality, we can get so caught up with the activity that sometimes it's really helpful for us to set priorities. And sometimes in our Christian lives, we can feel a little despondent if we allow our service to God and to other people to degenerate into busy, busy tasks and obligations to do, rather than out of an act of worship and devotion to Jesus for the things we do. And that's a real challenge for us there, particularly if we see aspects of Martha in us. And so Martha was the eldest sister. She was used to being in control. I suppose a habit which has perhaps developed while growing up, many older brothers and sisters have a tendency to take charge. I know I'm one myself, and so is Adam. And sometimes we can just, you know, be so used to taking charge and getting on with it. And hospitality was a social requirement in their culture. And so Martha really wanted to do a good job. And she worried about details, and she really wanted to please. She wanted to serve, she wanted to do the right thing. But she made everyone around her feel uncomfortable. Perhaps as the eldest, she feared shame if things weren't up to the mark. She tried to do everything she could to make sure that wouldn't happen. And as a result, she found it hard to relax and enjoy the company of our guests. So when we're being hospitable, when we have people in our homes, or when we're meeting people out there, wherever, it's, you know, really important that we're kind of focused on our friend or our guest, and that we, you know, relax and enjoy their company, not to become so caught up in all the preparations. It is said that entertaining focuses on the host. I'm sure we're all familiar with things like Come Dine With Me and all those programs on TV, where the focus is all about the host, all about what they look like, all about their home, all about the food they prepare, all about the presentation of the food, all about the wine that is chosen to go with the food. And so sometimes the focus can be on the guest. But entertaining is very different to hospitality. Hospitality focuses on the guest. And some of the best times of hospitality can be over a cup of tea or over a tin of soup. It's not that we should worry about having an immaculate house or, you know, a larder and fridge full of lovely food and, you know, we're all sort of smart and tidy and ready to welcome our guests. But hospitality, the true sort of meaning and purpose of hospitality is that we allow the person in our homes to feel relaxed, to feel comfortable, and to feel they have a listening ear. And they can rest in our company. And so Jesus gently corrects Martha's attitude and showed her that her priorities, though good, were not the best. And the personal attention she gave her guests should be more important than the comfort she tried to provide them. And so without Martha, there may not be a feast, but without Mary, there may be a feast. But there may not be the free-flowing, relaxed conversation of loving friendship. And, you know, I feel sorry for Martha sometimes because she always gets a bit of a raw deal. But, you know, we need Marthas and we need Marys. And we may see aspects of our own personalities in these two people, but we are the body of Christ and we work as a team and we all have gifts and talents and things that we can use to bless and encourage and honour each other. And so when these gifts are functioning in how God has designed them, we can work together in harmony and value each other. So we're going to look now at two characteristics of gifted hospitality. A person with the gift of hospitality is a person who has a special ability to focus his or her attention on a guest. You walk into someone's house, you immediately feel relaxed, welcome, wanted. You don't feel awkward, you don't feel rushed, and you don't feel like you're intruding. They ask how you are, they show they have time for you, you don't feel rushed, and they focus their interest in your life. I'm just going to read a verse from Philippians 2, verse 19. This is Paul. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. I will be happy to learn how you are. I have no one else like Timothy who truly cares for you. Other people are interested only in their own lives, not in the work of Jesus Christ. You know the kind of person Timothy is. You know he has served with me in telling the good news as his son serves his father. I plan to send him quickly to you and then I will come to visit soon. And this guy, Timothy, is well known in the Bible for his kind of gift of hospitality and love and care and encouragement. And, you know, that is something we can really take for our own lives in the whole area of hospitality and in how we treat other people. I've got a friend, and this is so true for her. You can knock on her door at any time, and the door's open and the kettle's on, and within 5 minutes of sitting down in her house, you feel really relaxed. And you feel listened to, and you can get, you know, worries off your chest, and vice versa. And she really demonstrates this gift of hospitality in an amazing way. And sometimes she's even been known to chat to the post lady at the door for like an hour. And, you know, some friends of mine have called to pop in to drop something off to this woman. And she's told me, oh, so-and-so stayed for 4 hours. They ended up having lunch. She didn't go till 2 o'clock. And, you know, it's a lovely, lovely way to be able to show love and care for people, you know, by opening our homes and just being able to give of our time and give of ourselves, especially in this day and age, because, you know, life is busy and sometimes people don't have time. I know I'm guilty of that in my own life sometimes, but I know there are those people here who really do offer, you know, hospitality, and it's a real gift for them, and they do it with ease and they do it so naturally, and I just want to encourage those people. You know who you are, you know you've always got a house full, you know, you're either with people one-to-one or you've got a, you know, a whole huge crowd of people in your house. You know, that is a God-given gift, and honour it, and, you know, don't feel not valued or not important, because that is one of the most valued gifts within the church, because it sows into people's lives and makes people feel loved and wanted, and that's how God wants us to feel, isn't it? That is how God wants us to feel. So such an important gift. Number two, the second characteristic of gifted hospitality is a person who has a deep value for community. A person who is gifted with hospitality demonstrates a deep value for community. And that is what we are here together. We are a community of God's people. Those who are gifted with hospitality communicate that they simply value the presence of others in their lives. They often do this without words, but their actions demonstrate that their lives have space for others. And that is a rarity in the world, do you think? You know, sometimes it's all about me and my world and my job, and, don't let anyone in, and people have boundaries and walls built around them that, you know, you can't access my world. But in the church, it's so fantastic that we are a people who demonstrate that we have a deep value for one another and a deep value for community. And, you know, we are God's special people at the end of the day. And it is like a completely different lifestyle to what you see in the world. But you know what? The world really envy it as well. And it's so great that we can kind of show this to others, and hopefully people, you know, will want to live like us and have the relationships and the friendships and, you know, the perks that come with all of that. And so it's really valuable. They love to have people over. They always seem to have time for people, whether they meet people one-to-one or have a houseful at a time. They are interested in people's lives, news and stories. And yet they don't try to fix you, because as we know, you know, Jesus is the only one who can fix us, give us hope, you know, repair our damaged souls. And that song that we sang this morning, the worship was fantastic this morning. It was so anointed, I could have just sat there for an hour just worshipping. And that song we just sang, you alone can rescue, you alone can save. You alone can raise us from the grave, you alone can lead us out of death. That's so powerful, isn't it? You know, at the end of the day, we're just people. But through hospitality, we can show people Jesus. But Jesus is the only person who can heal us, restore us, forgive us, lead us out of death, raise us from the grave. And I think, you know, it's so important that, you know, as people and we're trying to help people and be hospitable, is that, you know, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to fix people. We just have to be who we are, and allow God to do that, and just be that friendly face and that person who listens and cares genuinely. You know, don't feel pressured like you've got to fix people, because we can't fix people. Jesus is the only one who can fix us. And so a person who has the gift of hospitality can show Jesus and be an example of biblical Christian living. Okay, gosh, hasn't time flown? So having the gift of hospitality is the ability to enjoy meeting new people and providing a warm welcome, whether it be through food or not. It doesn't always have to be about food. You know, hospitality isn't always about, you know, a three-course meal in someone's home. Hospitality can be done in the park, can be done in the coffee shop, can be done in the tent, can be done in church, you know, can be done in our homes. You know, there's various means of doing hospitality. So some of the biblical examples then, Abraham and Sarah, the widow of Zarephath, Elijah, Peter's mother, Martha and Mary, and Lydia. We're just going to whiz past now because it's nearly 12. And so people with this gift create a welcoming environment. They're good at meeting new people and they help them feel welcome. They provide a safe and comfortable setting where relationships can be built. And that's so important. You know, I probably haven't really got to know people on a Sunday meeting. Most of the people I've really got to know is through hospitality, hanging out, being in people's homes, being in the tent, camping, being in a conference, chatting over coffee. Those are the times when I feel relationships are built, more so than a quick hour on a Sunday. They connect with people and set people at ease. Some of the personal traits of a person who kind of demonstrates this gift of hospitality are caring, friendly, sincere, sensitive, peacemaking, trustworthy, inviting, and initiating. And notice this list isn't all about has an immaculate home, is wealthy, can provide three-course meals on a regular basis, is a wonderful cook. It's not about that. It's about our heart, and it's about who we are as people. Although those things are lovely. I love all that. That's fab. I really love it. So tips for nurturing this gift. If you feel, you know, that really sounds like me. I really think that's me. You know, God's given me this gift, and I've never really thought about it before. You know, tips for nurturing this gift is let the church know, let the leadership know that you have this gift of hospitality. And that, you know, you would like to consider offering, you know, to host a person or a couple or a family or a small social group gathering in your home or elsewhere. Invite people over for supper. Invite people out for a coffee. Invite people over for a coffee morning. Maybe you really like visiting new people. There are so many avenues within the church that this gift of hospitality can be reached and sort of worked out. It's not just about, you know, us in our own little front room. Okay, finally then, to feel unwelcome may be one of the most awkward and unpleasant and painful experiences that we can have as people. Hands up if you've ever been in a situation and you've just felt unwelcome. School, work, church, you know, wherever. Is It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? And even worse, you can feel rejected. And that goes deeper, and that is quite a scarring thing to have happen. Maybe at school we were ridiculed or bullied. Maybe at the office we walk in and we're frequently talked about, or we know we're talked about. Maybe we've been in a group setting and we kind of feel really awkward. And it can really hurt. It can be very painful. And you know, from the beginning, God's people knew what it was like to be alienated, to be somewhere where they didn't feel welcome. I'm going to read from Leviticus and then we're going to finish. This is kind of the last point. This is in the Old Testament. It's in Leviticus. And it says, do not mistreat aliens. Now, there's a few different translations for this, okay? I'm not talking about aliens from outer space, because as we know, they don't exist. Not going to go there. It says, do not mistreat foreigners, outsiders, aliens, different meanings, living in your country, but treat them just as you treat your own citizens. Love foreigners as you love yourselves, because you were once foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, in this case, it's talking about non-Jews. And so God is really encouraging the people to love people as, you know, they would love their own people. And so it's talking about strangers or foreigners. And so it's really important that when we're talking about hospitality, it's not just me and my friends and the people that we're kind of familiar with. But, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, loving and extending the arm of hospitality to strangers and to people. And when we put this into a church context, when we think of a Sunday morning, when we come in, the first point of contact is a welcoming, smiley, happy face. Good morning, how are you? And small things can make a major change in people's lives. And so it's really important that we are, you know, welcoming to strangers and to new people. And I know that we do that anyway, and we do it well. But just to kind of have, you know, that sensitivity to how others may feel coming in. The Greek word philodelphos means friendship love. Philoxenia is the Greek word for hospitality or the love of strangers. So these words talk about the attitude and the spirit of a person. It talks about the spirit and the attitude of the people of God to communicate a sense of acceptance to those who are different from us. And when you Google hospitality, it's amazing what comes up. What comes up is nothing to do with biblical hospitality. It's all about hospitality management, hospitality marketing, corporate business hospitality. And it's all, you know, Holiday Inn and Hilton and all these posh hotels. And hospitality is big business. And do you know what? It's come out of the church. One leading restaurateur said that the key to his success was hiring, wait for it, can't say this, hospitalitarians. Ever heard of that word? And so it's big business, and people know that if you can tap into people's kind of self-awareness, that they are onto something, and people pay for it. And so these hospitalitarians that these big, posh, fancy hotels and restaurants hire, their job and job description is purposely for making people feel wanted, making people feel important, making people feel valued, making people feel comfortable, making people feel cared for. And you know, as the church, we do that for free. And to finish, Matthew 25, verse 31. Then the king will say to the people on his right, come, my father has given you his blessing. Receive the kingdom God has prepared for you since the world was made. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes and you gave me something to wear. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the good people will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you alone and away from home and invite you into our house? When did we see you without clothes and give you something to wear? Then the king will answer, I tell you the truth. Anything you did for even the least of my people here, you also did for me. And that is such a challenge, isn't it? Let's look at the way we treat people as if we're treating Jesus himself. That is such a challenge, isn't it? That is such a challenging couple of verses. And I guess the reason, the real reason, the evidence of our belief and our faith is the way we act and treat people. And I think for myself, I would really like to develop in this gift because it's so important, and also to develop in my attitude towards people and have more of a Jesus attitude towards people. You know, especially people who, you know, wind us up or infuriate us or annoy us. You know, let's kind of be mature in how we treat people and to deal with these things and rise above it, and with God's help, you know, really reach out to people. Someone once said, when we walk through a room, we either leave something with us. No, when we walk through a room, we either leave or take something with us. If our demeanour, our attitude when we walk into a room is positive and we've got a smile on our face, we leave something for someone. But if we're stampeding across a room, frowning, all guns blazing, really grumpy, we leave our mark too and take something from someone. The smallest things can change somebody's experience in a major way. And so the first point of contact is Faye and Laura and the welcoming team. And that is so fantastic, isn't it? But that is such an important role to, you know, welcome people and welcome strangers on a Sunday morning. And I guess for me, one of the great things when we get to heaven will be discovering how those small acts of kindness and hospitality were used by God in the life of another person to guide them to Jesus and to guide them into eternity. And just to finish, at the end of the day, you know, we are going to spend eternity with other people, isn't it? So we kind of better get used to it now. And let's use our gifts and our talents, you know, and use them in a way where we have the attitude that they are going to make an eternal difference. That the small things we do here on earth, it's not just about the here and now, but it really is about building like treasure in heaven. And so everyone has some gifts. Find them and use them. And, you know, let's not just think our gifts are for our own exclusive enjoyment, but that they are to serve and to, you know, bless other people as well. So why don't we pray? Lord, we thank you so much that you walked this earth and hung out with people and gave such value to people through your words and your demeanour. And I just pray that we would just be able to glean some of that attitude from you this morning as we, you know, kind of go about our lives and welcome people and strangers and be more hospitable as a church and as individuals. And Lord, whether it may be a real challenge to us where we can't think of anything worse than having people in our home, you know, Lord, just show us, you know, creative ways in which we can, you know, use and develop this gift in comfortable settings that are comfortable and, you know, stretching for us as well. And I pray that we would just be able to, you know, see more people come to you, Lord, through our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.